miscarriage or stillbirth, preterm labor, premature rupture of the membranes, and low birth weight. And once a baby is born into a physically abusive household, he or she can easily become a victim of direct violence, as well as emotional abuse. Abuse doesn't discriminate. It crosses every socioeconomic profile, every religion, every age, every race and ethnicity, and every educational level. If you're the victim of domestic violence, remember that it's not your fault. You've done nothing wrong. If you are in an abusive relationship, don't wait for things to get better. Get help now. Without intervention, the abuse is likely to continue and get worse. Keep in mind that if you're not safe in your relationship, your baby won't be safe either. Talk to your practitioner, tell your trusted friends and family, and call a local domestic violence hotline. Many states have programs that can help you with shelter, clothing, and prenatal care. Check out the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence at ncadv.org and the CDC's Domestic Violence Resource page at cdc.gov/violenceprevention or call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233. thehotline.org. If you are in immediate danger, call 911. Mobile devices.
I spend hours a day on my smartphone, both for work and for fun, and all things baby. Is that safe during pregnancy?
Are you obsessed with your cell? A message board maniac? Just plain app happy? If so, this should make you extra happy. Evidence suggests it's unlikely mobile devices and the radiation they emit pose any risk to your baby-to-be. Eager to play it safe but still keep playing on your phone? Experts suggest that you avoid carrying your mobile on your waist or where your waist once was and keep it on silent when it's near your bump. Research shows that fetuses startle when they hear that beeping or buzzing or ringing so close by, possibly rattling their sleep-wake cycle. One well-documented danger of using mobile devices, whether you're pregnant or not, comes from using a handheld mobile phone for texting or talking while driving. In fact, in many areas, it's illegal. Even hands-free devices can be distracting when you're driving, and you're better off putting your phone on silent so you don't hear any rings or textings or social media notification zings, or turning it off altogether when you're in the car. Play it safe by pulling over to a safe area before making a call or texting. Walking while distracted, using your cell while walking, can also land you in trouble. You're already a little more prone to falls as pregnancy progresses. Your center of gravity is off, you can't see your feet, and there's no reason to add another risk factor to the mix. Park yourself on a park bench, stand against a wall in the mall, or stop in your tracks on the track before you text or check how many likes the photo you posted last night has gotten. Something else to keep in mind. Using a phone or tablet before bed can keep you busy and productive when there's so much to do on your to-do list, but it can also keep you from sleeping once you turn in. Light from the screen alters sleepiness and alertness and also suppresses levels of melatonin, the hormone that regulates your internal clock and plays a role in your sleep cycle. So power down your devices at least an hour before turning in. Microwaves.
I use my microwave practically every day to heat up food or even cook. Is microwave exposure safe during pregnancy?
Microwave away, Mom. All the research indicates that microwaves are completely safe to use during pregnancy and at all other times. Just a couple of sensible precautions. Use only cookware that is specifically manufactured for use in the microwave. Look for a microwave-safe, BPA-free container. And don't let plastic wrap touch food during microwaving, covering food with an appropriate microwave-safe top or a paper towel instead. Definitely continue to practice those protocols after baby arrives. They're not just for pregnancy.
Wild rides. So pregnancy isn't enough of a roller coaster for you? Thinking of something even more daring? There's no need to skip your day at the amusement park or country fair, but consider keeping it more chill, less thrill. Sitting out high-speed or jerky rides now that you're expecting. There's a reason why the signs on those extreme rides warn moms-to-be to steer clear. Rapid starts and stops and jarring forces could possibly lead to placental abruption or other complications. Don't worry about rides you've already taken. Just take a pass from now on.
Hot tubs and saunas.
We have a hot tub. Is it safe for me to use it while I'm pregnant?
You won't have to switch to cold showers, but it's probably a good idea to stay out of the hot tub. Anything that raises body temperature over 102 degrees Fahrenheit and keeps it there for a while, whether it's a soak in a hot tub or an extremely hot bath, is potentially hazardous to a developing embryo or fetus, particularly in the early months. Some studies have shown that a hot tub doesn't raise a woman's temperature to dangerous levels immediately. It takes at least 10 minutes, longer if the shoulders and arms are not submerged or if the water is 102 degrees Fahrenheit or less. But because individual responses and circumstances vary, play it safe by keeping your bump out of the hot tub. Feel free, however, to soak your aching feet. If you've already had some brief dips in the hot tub, there's probably no cause for concern. Most women spontaneously get out of a hot tub before their body temperatures reach 102 because they become uncomfortable. It's likely you did too. Take a pass too on the sauna and steam room when you're expecting, since they can also raise body temperature excessively, as well as lead to dehydration, dizziness, and low blood pressure.
Is hot stuff not so hot? Considering cuddling up with an electric blanket when the winter chill sets in, or easing that achy-breaky back with a heating pad? Too much heat isn't so hot when you're pregnant, because it may raise your body temperature excessively. So cuddle up to your sweetie instead of that electric blanket. Or if his tootsies are as icy as yours, invest in a down comforter, push up the thermostat, or heat the bed with an electric blanket, and then turn it off before you turn in. Still feeling the chill? Keep in mind that as the months pass, you'll probably be keeping yourself so warm, thanks to a pregnancy-boosted metabolism, that you'll be kicking off all your covers anyway. As for that heating pad, wrap it in a towel before you apply it to your back, belly, or shoulders to reduce the heat it passes along. An ankle or knee can take the heat. Keep it at the lowest setting, limit applications to 15 minutes, and avoid sleeping with it. You've already spent some time under that electric blanket or heating pad? Not to worry. There's no proven risk.
The family cat.
I have cats at home. I've heard that cats carry a disease that can harm babies. Do I have to get rid of my pets?
Before you throw the kitties out with the kitty litter, keep in mind that the risk of infection with toxoplasmosis, a parasite that cats and other animals can carry and excrete in their feces, and that can be harmful to a baby, is very remote if you have indoor cats. What's more, if you've had cats for a while, you're likely to already be immune to toxoplasmosis because you've probably already been infected with it. Most cat owners have been. A simple blood test is available that will confirm your immunity, but it won't be useful unless you were tested before you conceived. That's because the tests are not sensitive enough to show whether you have a new infection or simply have antibodies from an old infection. Talk to your practitioner to see if you were tested before you became pregnant. If you were tested before you conceived and were not immune, or if you're not sure whether you are immune or not, take the following precautions to avoid infection. Have your cats tested by the vet to see if they have an active infection. If they do, board them at a kennel or ask a friend to care for them for at least 6 weeks when the infection is transmissible. If they are free of infection, keep them that way by not allowing them to eat raw meat, roam outdoors, hunt mice or birds, which can transmit toxoplasmosis to cats, or hang out with other cats. Have someone else handle the litter box. If you must do it yourself, use disposable gloves and wash your hands when you're finished, as well as after you touch your cats. The litter should be scooped at least daily. Wear gloves when gardening. Don't garden in areas where your cats or other cats may have deposited feces. Though universal screening for toxoplasmosis is not currently recommended by ACOG, some practitioners are urging routine testing before conception or very early in pregnancy for all women, so that those who test positive can relax knowing they are immune, and those who test negative can take the necessary precautions to prevent infection. Check with your practitioner to see what he or she recommends.
No cat, no toxoplasmosis? Cats aren't the only culprits when it comes to spreading toxoplasmosis. It's also possible to catch this infection through handling or eating contaminated raw meat or fruits and veggies that have been grown in soil that may have toxoplasmosis parasites in it. Fortunately, the risk of becoming infected is low. Still, to stay on the safe side, follow these smart food prep tips, which just happen to be best practices for food safety anyway. Wash fruits and vegetables, especially those grown in home gardens, rinsing very thoroughly, and/or peel or cook them. Don't eat raw or undercooked meat or unpasteurized milk or dairy products. Wash your hands thoroughly after handling raw meat.
Household hazards.
How much do I really have to worry about household hazards like cleaning products and BPA? And what about tap water? Is it safe to drink it while I'm pregnant?
A little perspective goes a long way when you're expecting. The reality is that your home is probably a very safe place for you and your baby to hang out, especially if you couple a little caution with a lot of common sense. Here's what you need to know about so-called household hazards. Household cleaning products. Mopping your kitchen floor or polishing your dining room table may be tough on your pregnant back, but it's not typically tough on your pregnancy. Still, it makes sense to clean with care when you're expecting. Let your nose and the following common sense tips be your guide. Go green. As much as you can, prefer products that clean the green way with non-toxic ingredients. Many are surprisingly effective. Going green when you clean is a good habit to get into now, before baby starts crawling around your home and trying to put everything into that cute little mouth. If the product has a strong odor or fumes, don't breathe it in directly. Use it in an area with plenty of ventilation, or don't use it at all. Never, even when you're not pregnant, mix ammonia with chlorine-based products. The combination produces deadly fumes. Try to avoid using products such as oven cleaners that are plastered with warnings about toxicity levels. Wear rubber gloves when you must use a really strong product. Not only will this spare your hands a lot of wear and tear, but it'll prevent the absorption of chemicals through the skin. Lead. Exposure to lead isn't potentially harmful just to small children, but to pregnant women and their fetuses as well. Fortunately, there are steps you can take to reduce lead exposure around your house, allowing you to bring baby home to a safer environment. Here's how to steer clear of some common sources of lead. Check your tap. Since tap water is a common source of lead, be sure yours is lead-free. Check your paint. Old paint is a major source of lead. If your home dates back to 1955 or earlier and layers of paint are to be removed for any reason, stay away from the house while the work is being done. If you find paint is flaking in an older home, or if you have a piece of old painted furniture that's flaking, see about having the walls or furniture repainted to contain the flaking lead paints, or have the old paint removed. Again, stay away while the job is being done. Check your china. Flea market fan? Lead can also be leached from antique, handmade, and imported ceramic ware and pottery. If you're unsure whether your ceramic, clay, or other china dishes, bowls, or pitchers are lead-free, look for a label. Don't use them for food or drinks. Using them for decoration is fine. Check your unusual cravings. Pica, a craving for non-food items, can lead some expectant moms to consume soil, clay, or paint chips, any of which may contain lead. Tap water. It's still the best drink in the house, and in most houses, water is completely safe and drinkable straight from the tap. to be sure that when you fill a glass of water, you'll be drinking to your good health and your baby's, do the following. Contact your local water supplier or health department, the EPA, epa.gov, or a consumer advocacy group. If there's a possibility that your home's or your community's water supply is unsafe because of pipe deterioration, a contaminated water source, or proximity to a waste disposal area, or because of odd taste or color, arrange to have it tested. Your local EPA or health department can tell you how. If testing reveals that your water is contaminated with unsafe contaminants, invest in a filter. The kind depends on what turns up in your water. Or use bottled water for drinking and cooking. Be aware, however, that bottled waters are not automatically free of impurities. Some contain more than tap water, and some are actually bottled directly from a tap. Many bottled waters also don't contain fluoride, an important mineral, especially for growing teeth, your babies. To check the purity of a particular brand, search for it at NSF International, nsf.org. Or check the bottle's label for NSF certification. Also look for bottles that don't contain BPA by checking for the recycling code 1 on the bottom. Avoid distilled waters from which beneficial minerals have been removed. If testing shows lead in your water, switch to a bottled water or water that comes from a filtration system certified to reduce or eliminate lead for cooking, drinking, and brushing your teeth. Bathing and showering using water that has tested positive for lead is not a problem, since lead from water can't be absorbed through the skin. If your water smells and or tastes like chlorine, boiling it or letting it stand uncovered for 24 hours will allow much of the chemical to evaporate. Pesticides. Can't live with roaches, ants, and other yucky insects? Fortunately, pest control and pregnancy can be completely compatible with a few precautions. If your neighborhood is being sprayed, avoid hanging around outside for long periods until the chemical odors have dissipated, usually about 2 to 3 days. When indoors, keep the windows closed. If spraying for roaches or other insects is necessary in your apartment or house, be sure all closets and kitchen cabinets are tightly closed and all food preparation surfaces are covered. Ventilate with open windows until the fumes have dissipated. Once the spray has settled, make sure food preparation surfaces in or near the sprayed area have been thoroughly cleaned. Inside the house, use motel or other types of traps strategically placed in heavy bug traffic areas to get rid of roaches and ants. Use cedar blocks instead of mothballs in closed closets, and use the least toxic or most environmentally friendly, aka green, pesticides possible. Also, whenever possible, try to take a natural approach to pest control. For example, invest in an inventory of ladybugs or other beneficial predators available from some garden supply houses that like to feed on the bugs that are bugging you. Most important, keep in mind that brief, indirect exposure to insecticides or herbicides isn't likely to be harmful, though best to avoid if possible. What does increase the risk is frequent long-term exposure, the kind that working daily around such chemicals, as in a factory or heavily sprayed fields or gardens, would involve. Paint. Is baby's room getting a makeover that includes painting? Happily, today's paints don't contain lead or mercury, so they are safe to use when you're expecting. And there are plenty of eco-friendly paints, ones made without any volatile organic compounds, VOCs, toxic fungicides, and chemical pigments on the market that you can use for your baby's nursery. Still, even if the paint you're using isn't potentially harmful, the actual painting may be. So there are plenty of good reasons why you should pass the paintbrush to someone else, even if you're trying desperately to keep busy in those last weeks of waiting. The repetitive motion of painting can be a strain on back muscles already under pressure from the extra weight of pregnancy, and balancing on a ladder is precarious for the pregnant, to say the least. What's more, paint odors, though most are not harmful, can offend the pregnant nose and bring on a bout of nausea, a good reason to try to arrange to be out of the house when painting is being done. Whether you're there or not, keep windows open for ventilation. Avoid exposure to paint removers entirely because they are highly toxic, and steer clear of the paint removing process, whether chemicals or sanders are used, particularly if the paint being removed is older and might contain mercury or lead. BPA. Excessive exposure to BPA, bisphenol A, a chemical found in some plastic containers, cans, and even some store receipts, may pose a pregnancy risk. That's because BPA is believed to mimic hormones and disrupt the endocrine system that's responsible for assuring proper fetal development. BPA is everywhere. According to the CDC, 93% of all Americans have BPA in their bloodstreams. But the good news is that it's becoming easier to avoid excessive exposure. You can do this by opting for canned foods that are labeled BPA-free, or choosing food packaged in glass jars instead. Selecting storage containers, cutting boards, and utensils made from BPA-free plastic or from glass, wood, or ceramic. Using stainless steel or BPA-free water bottles, those with recycle codes 3 and 7 are more likely to contain BPA. Phthalates. Phthalates, sometimes known as plasticizers, come from compounds that enhance the flexibility of plastics. They're found in IV tubing, flexible PVC pipes used for plumbing, some flexible plastic bags like single-use shopping bags, and some food and drink containers, among a variety of other products. Phthalates are also found in many personal care products, from fragrances to lipstick, shampoo to nail polish, and there's a growing case against them. Research has found that excessive exposure to phthalates during pregnancy can damage cells and DNA in the body, possibly leading to pregnancy complications, including preeclampsia, preterm birth, and miscarriage. Too much exposure to phthalates in utero has also been linked to lower IQ, delayed language development, and higher risk of learning disabilities in children. Good news is that more products are being manufactured without phthalates. You can reduce exposure not only by choosing products labeled phthalate-free, but also watching out for the word fragrance, a blanket term that can hide phthalates on the ingredient list of a product not labeled phthalate-free. Also cut back on the use of plastic. Use cloth bags instead of plastic, and use glass food and drink containers instead of plastic. Not ready to give up on plastic storage containers altogether? Choose ones from the growing number that are labeled BPA and phthalate-free, or at least be sure not to heat up foods or drinks in regular plastic containers, since heating plastics allow the chemicals to break down and leach into the food. Air pollution.
Can city air pollution hurt my baby?
Take a deep breath. Ordinary breathing in the big city is a lot safer than you'd think. After all, millions of women live and breathe in major cities across the nation and give birth to millions of healthy babies. Still, it's always sensible to avoid high doses of most air pollutants, since studies have shown that extremely high exposure to air pollution can put a baby at risk of being born at a low birth weight, having a higher risk of autism, or developing asthma later in life. Here's how to breathe easier for two. Pay attention to outdoor air quality. Try to limit time spent outdoors when the air quality is poor and keep windows closed. Check the air quality near you with the American Lung Association's State of the Air app, lung.org/healthy-air. Fuel up at night. Filling your gas tank after dusk, especially during warmer months, releases less harmful pollution than fueling up by day. Have the exhaust system on your car checked to be sure there is no rusting or leakage of noxious fumes. Never start your car in the garage with the garage door closed, and keep the tailgate on an SUV or minivan closed when the engine is running. Idle wisely. Keep your car windows and outdoor air vents closed in heavy traffic and avoid standing near idling cars. Don't run, walk, or bike along congested roads, since you breathe in more air and pollution when you're active. Instead, choose a route with little traffic and a lot of trees. Trees, like indoor greenery, help to keep the air clean. Keep indoor air clean. The EPA recommends changing the air filters on HVAC units regularly. Another tip, place potted plants around your home, since research shows they can actually suck up irritating chemicals like formaldehyde, leaving your air cleaner. In making your selections, however, be sure to avoid plants that are toxic when ingested, such as philodendron or English ivy. You won't likely be munching on shrubbery, but the same can't necessarily be said for your baby once he or she begins crawling around the house. Make sure fireplaces, gas stoves, and wood-burning stoves in your home are vented properly. Also, make sure the fireplace flue is open before lighting a fire.
All about complementary and alternative medicine.
Maybe you're already a reflexology regular, or your chiropractor has had your once aching back for years. Maybe you've tried acupuncture a few times for headaches, or dabbled in hypnotherapy when you were trying to quit smoking. Maybe a monthly therapeutic massage is your drug-free answer to a chill pill. And speaking of drug-free, maybe you're a regular in the herbal supplement aisle too. Or maybe you've always been curious about these and other complementary and alternative medicine, or CAM therapies, but couldn't help thinking that CAM might just be a scam. And maybe now that you're expecting, you're wondering whether CAM has a place in your pregnancy. After all, pregnancy isn't an illness, it's a normal part of the life cycle, making the holistic view of health and well-being that CAM encompasses, which integrates not only physical influences, but nutritional, emotional, and spiritual ones too, seem like a pregnancy natural. And for more and more pregnant women and the traditional medicine doctors and midwives who care for them, it is. A variety of CAM practices are currently being used in pregnancy with varying degrees of success, including the following. Acupuncture. Acupuncture is based on correcting imbalances and blockages of what Chinese medicine refers to as qi, the flow of vital energy along internal energy pathways, known as meridians, in your body. It might sound a little on the fringe or even off the wall, but acupuncture has been working its medical magic thousands of years to relieve any number of pregnancy woes and conditions. How is it done? An acupuncturist inserts dozens of thin needles at prescribed points, there are more than 1,000 acupuncture points, along invisible meridians on the body. Lost you at needles? Most people say acupuncture doesn't hurt at all, or only for a moment. Just don't watch if the needles unnerve you. Close your eyes and get some much-needed relaxation. Researchers have found that the points correspond to deep-seated nerves, so that when the needles are twirled or electrically stimulated in a procedure known as electropuncture, the nerves are activated, leading to the release of endorphins and relief from stress, depression, back pain, fatigue, headaches, sciatica, carpal tunnel pain, and possibly other pregnancy symptoms like heartburn and constipation. Acupuncture has also been shown to be particularly good at easing morning sickness, even in its most severe form, hyperemesis gravidarum, and it may also be used during labor to relieve pain as well as to help speed progress along. Acupuncturists say that just a single treatment per month during pregnancy can help you de-stress and enjoy this amazing, if sometimes uncomfortable, time in your life more fully. Be sure to choose an acupuncturist who is experienced and uses clean and sanitary procedures, meticulously sterilized or single-use disposable needles, for example. And your acupuncturist should avoid having you lie flat on your back after your fourth month. Acupressure. Acupressure, or shiatsu, works on the same principle as acupuncture, except that instead of poking you with needles, your practitioner will use thumb or finger pressure, or will apply firm pressure with small beads to stimulate the points. Pressure on a certain point just above your inner wrist can ease nausea, which is why acupressure wristbands can also work. Acupressure on the center of the ball of the foot is said to help back labor. In fact, acupressure is said to relieve the same aches, pains, and symptoms of pregnancy that acupuncture does. There are several acupressure points, such as those in the ankle, that are said to induce contractions, which is why these particular pressure points should be avoided until term, at which point impatient moms-to-be might want to give them a try. Moxibustion. This CAM therapy combines acupuncture with the burning of mugwort, an herb. In addition to, or instead of, inserting needles into the skin, the practitioner will burn long sticks of mugwort near certain acupuncture points. Though most scientific research shows a low success rate, many in the CAM community say that moxibustion, performed on the outside of the little toe, can turn a breech baby. If you're thinking of trying moxibustion or your practitioner has suggested giving it a go, look for an acupuncturist who is experienced in the technique. It generally requires multiple sessions, starting sometime between the end of the 7th month and the middle of the 8th month. Chiropractic medicine. This therapy uses physical manipulation of the spine and other joints to enable nerve impulses to move freely through an aligned body, encouraging the body's natural ability to heal. During pregnancy, your body produces ligament-relaxing hormones, a good thing since your baby's head would never be able to fit through your pelvis otherwise. But those hormones, combined with your spectacularly swollen belly, can leave you loose-limbed, sway-backed, and unusually clumsy because of a rapidly lowering center of gravity. Look out below! All of this can do quite a number on your spine. Chiropractic care may be able to undo much of this damage and get your lower body in proper alignment for an easier birth. Some chiropractors also claim that chiropractic adjustments can reduce the likelihood of a miscarriage, control morning sickness, and lower your risk of preterm delivery. The chiropractor's ability to realign and in many cases relax the ligaments and muscles in your pelvis has led to what is known as the Webster technique, a method that is said to help breech babies turn themselves naturally. It's very important that any chiropractic practitioner you see has experience treating expectant women. You should be placed on a special table made to keep pressure off your belly during treatments, and your chiropractor should avoid having you lie flat on your back, especially during your last trimester. Finally, as with any type of CAM treatment, make sure you clear it first with your OB, who may have a very specific reason why you should avoid spinal realignment. Massage. Massage. Anyone who's ever had a professional massage knows that both body and mind feel better after a good rubdown. And studies back up the feel-good message about massage, showing that it can reduce stress hormones in your body and relax and loosen tense muscles, all welcome benefits when you're expecting. It can also increase blood flow and circulation, good both for you and baby, and keep your lymphatic system working at peak efficiency, flushing out toxins from your body. But massage is more than just a day in the spa. Massage in the hands of a trained physical therapist can help relieve joint pain, neck and back pain, hip pain, leg cramps, and sciatica. It can also reduce swelling in your hands and feet, as long as that swelling isn't a result of preeclampsia, relieve carpal tunnel pain, and alleviate headaches and sinus congestion, all common side effects of baby making. Because physical therapists create individualized treatment plans for pain relief, yours can teach you stretches and exercises that you can do at home to help relieve any aches and pains you're experiencing. Many of these stretches are also designed to improve the strength, flexibility, and stability in your muscles. And in most cases, practitioner-prescribed physical therapy is covered by insurance. Reflexology. Similar to acupressure, reflexology is a therapy based on the notion that areas on the feet and hands are linked to other areas and organs of the body. Reflexology is used to treat symptoms in many parts of your body by using fingertip pressure on specific areas on your feet primarily, and sometimes on your hands as well. The idea is that this pressure allows blocked energy to flow freely, which increases blood flow to the corresponding part of your body and an uptick in the removal of toxic waste. During pregnancy, reflexology can be used to soothe the aches and pains in your back and joints that are taking a beating from your growing girth. But that's not all. Reflexologists say their fancy footwork can give you relief from some of your most persistent and wide-ranging woes. These may include morning sickness, heartburn, mild swelling, constipation, high blood pressure, but not preeclampsia, insomnia, bladder problems, and even hemorrhoids. In addition, reflexology seems to reduce emotional stress and ease mild depression and anxiety. It may even be helpful after you give birth. Some studies show it stimulates milk production. It's important to know that reflexologists often work on the area between your ankle and heel to stimulate labor and contractions. Unless you've reached full term, make sure the therapy avoids stimulating this area for any length of time. As with almost any alternative therapy, check with your practitioner before you begin reflexology treatments and be sure that your reflexologist has been properly trained and has experience working with pregnant women. Keep in mind, too, that some reflexologists prefer to wait until an expectant mom is out of her first trimester before working on her, and that there are certain complications for which reflexology is specifically not recommended. Hydrotherapy. The therapeutic use of warm water is particularly effective during pregnancy because the body's physiological response to water helps improve your circulation, ease your aching back and feet, knees, you name it, ease the pain of labor and delivery, and generally make you a happier mama. There are a variety of ways to harness the power of water. Soaking in a warm tub is one of them. During labor, spraying your face with cold water may help you concentrate and stay calm. A cold compress on your neck may help you breathe more steadily and deeply and increase energy while decreasing exhaustion. A warm compress placed on the lower back can help your pelvic muscles relax between contractions. Some women believe so deeply in the power of hydrotherapy that they choose to spend much of their labor immersed in water, and some even deliver their babies there. One reason that water works so well is that floating eases pressure on your spine, helping the pelvis to open. Once you're in the tub or special birthing pool, you no longer need to concentrate on your posture. Your body is decompressed, which helps minimize the pain of contractions. Since it's important to keep your body temperature in a safe range during pregnancy, think soothingly warm, not blisteringly hot, when it comes to your tub water. And while hydrotherapy is fine, actually amazing, for almost any pregnant woman, and an awesome option for pain management during labor, delivering underwater is usually reserved for low-risk births. Meditation, visualization, and relaxation techniques. Deep relaxation techniques, meditation, and visualization can help you cope with a variety of physical and emotional stresses during pregnancy, from the miseries of morning sickness to the pain of labor and delivery, enabling you to relax and focus your concentration, reduce stress, lower your blood pressure, and enhance your peace of mind. They can work wonders on an expectant mom's anxiety, too. Hypnotherapy. Hypnosis, when your conscious, rational mind takes a backseat and your subconscious mind, feelings, memories, emotions, drives the car for a while, usually involves music, soothing images, and guided visualization. Natal hypnotherapy, the kind that's used during pregnancy, uses deep relaxation and the power of suggestion to tap into the part of your mind that's responsible for bodily functions, your heart rate, hormone production, and digestive system, as well as your emotions, and helps you cope with the anxiety that's sometimes part of the pregnancy package. Many women use hypnosis to ease or even eliminate the pain of childbirth, but proponents say hypnosis can also be effective in relieving pregnancy symptoms, from nausea to headaches, helping to hold off premature labor, ease stress, or help turn a breech baby. Keep in mind that hypnosis isn't for everyone. About 25% of the population is highly resistant to hypnotic suggestion, and many more aren't suggestive enough to use it for effective pain relief. Though even then, there can be relaxing benefits. Hypnosis is also not a last-minute option. You've got to learn and practice hypnosis techniques in advance of labor for it to be effective. And of course, make sure any hypnotherapist you use or train with is certified and experienced in pregnancy therapies. Biofeedback. Biofeedback is a method that helps patients learn how to recognize and control their biological responses to physical pain or emotional stress. How does it work? Your therapist applies sensors to your body that provide feedback on factors such as muscle tension, brainwave activity, respiration, heart rate, blood pressure, and temperature. As the practitioner monitors the feedback these sensors provide, he or she uses relaxation techniques to calm you, reducing muscle tension and easing pain or stress. Over time, you should be able to control your body's responses by yourself through self-guided relaxation without needing the therapist or the biofeedback machine. Biofeedback can be used safely to lower blood pressure and combat depression, anxiety, and stress, as well as to relieve a variety of pregnancy symptoms, including headache, backache, and other pains, plus insomnia and possibly morning sickness. It can also be an effective treatment for urinary incontinence, both during and after pregnancy. Herbal remedies. Botanicals have been used since humankind first began looking for relief from ailments. Now more often manufactured than foraged for, herbal remedies are touted by some as a natural treatment for many of pregnancy's peskiest symptoms, from leg cramps to hemorrhoids. And while some are probably harmless and possibly effective, say a cup of chamomile tea when you get up in the morning to calm a queasy tummy, or a cup of raspberry leaf tea to jumpstart contractions when your due date has come and gone, most experts don't recommend herbal remedies for pregnant women because adequate studies on safety haven't been done. Also important to keep in mind, just because a product is natural doesn't mean it's safe. In fact, there are certain herbs that are known to be dangerous during pregnancy and that might be lurking in herbal remedies without you even knowing. For instance, aloe, barberry, black cohosh, blue cohosh, dong quai, feverfew, golden seal, juniper, and wild yam are uterine stimulants and could potentially lead to miscarriage or premature contractions. Autumn crocus, mugwort, used for moxibustion but not safe for ingestion, poke root, and sassafras have been linked to birth defects. Comfrey and mistletoe can have a toxic effect. Another reason to proceed with care down the herbal aisles of your health food market. Herbal supplements are not regulated by the FDA the way prescription and over-the-counter medications are. Though herbal remedies manufactured in Germany, Poland, Austria, and the UK are regulated, which means they undergo careful scrutiny, those produced in other countries, including the US, are not. This means their strength, quality, and even ingredients may vary from brand to brand and package to package. They may contain contaminants, possibly including lead, depending on the country of origin, ingredients not listed on the label, higher levels of active ingredients than listed, or no active ingredients at all. So treat herbal remedies, including herbal teas, as you would treat any medication during pregnancy. Don't use them unless they've been cleared by your practitioner.
CAM caveats. Clearly, CAM is making an impact in pregnancy care. Even the most traditional OBs are realizing that it's a holistic force to be reckoned with and one to begin incorporating into OB business as usual. But in making CAM a part of your pregnancy, it's wise to proceed with sensible caution and with these caveats in mind. The C stands for complementary, so check in with your traditional practitioner before you book an appointment with a CAM therapist. Even better, ask for therapist recommendations first. The M stands for medicine. CAM medications can be strong medicine, just as traditional prescriptions or over-the-counter medications can be, but with an important distinction. Because they are not FDA regulated or approved, their safety hasn't been clinically established. Which is not to say there aren't CAM medications that are safe to use during pregnancy, just that there is no official system in place to determine those that are and those that aren't, or those that are effective and those that aren't. All the more reason to avoid any herbal or homeopathic remedy, as well as any dietary supplement or aromatherapy treatment, unless it has been prescribed or recommended by your OB or midwife, same as you would do with any other medication during pregnancy. CAM rules change during pregnancy. You've been seeing the same chiropractor for the same adjustment for years, or getting a massage from the same therapist every time your back acts up? Just remember, what's safe for the non-pregnant may not be safe when you're expecting. That's why you should choose a therapist who is trained and experienced in the special precautions needed for pregnant patients. Chapter 4. 9 months of eating well.
There's a tiny new being developing inside of you, a baby in the making. Adorable little fingers and toes are sprouting, eyes and ears are forming, brain cells are rapidly growing. And before you know it, the speck of a fetus inside of you will come to resemble the baby of your dreams, fully equipped and suitable for cuddling. Not surprisingly, a lot goes into making a baby. Happily for babies and the parents who love them, nature's incredibly good at what it does, which means that the chances that your baby will be born not only perfectly cuddly, but perfectly healthy, are already excellent. What's more, there's something you can do to help make those excellent chances even better while helping yourself to a healthier and more comfortable pregnancy. It's something that's relatively easy to do, except maybe when you're feeling queasy, and something that you probably already do at least 3 times a day. Yes, you guessed it. Eat. But the challenge during pregnancy isn't just to eat, though that may be challenge enough during those early months. It's to eat as well as you can. Think of it this way. Eating well when you're expecting is one of the first and best gifts you can give your soon-to-arrive bundle of joy. And it's a gift that can keep on giving, handing out not just a healthier start in life, but a healthier lifetime. The pregnancy diet is an eating plan dedicated to baby's good health and yours. What's in it for your baby? Among many other impressive benefits, a better chance for a healthy birth weight, improved brain development, reduced risk for certain birth defects, and as a bonus, believe it or not, better and potentially less picky eating habits as baby grows. A perk you'll really appreciate when broccoli's on the dinner menu. It may even make it more likely that your yet-to-be-born baby will grow to be a healthier adult. And your baby's not the only one who's likely to benefit. The pregnancy diet can also increase the chances that you'll have a safe pregnancy. Some complications such as anemia, gestational diabetes, and preeclampsia are less common among women who eat well and avoid excess weight gain. A comfortable pregnancy, the right foods can minimize morning sickness, fatigue, heartburn, constipation, and a host of other pregnancy symptoms. Good nutrition may help moderate those wild mood swings. A full-term pregnancy, in general, moms-to-be who eat regularly and well are less likely to deliver too early. And a speedier postpartum recovery. A well-nourished body can bounce back faster and more easily, and weight that's been gained at a sensible rate can be shed more quickly. For more on the many benefits of a healthy diet during pregnancy, see what to expect eating well when you're expecting. Luckily, scoring those benefits is a piece of carrot cake, especially if you're already eating pretty well, and even if you're not. You'll just have to be a little more selective before bringing fork to mouth. That's because the pregnancy diet isn't all that different from the average healthy diet. While a few modifications have been made for the pregnant set, not surprisingly, baby making requires more calories and more of certain nutrients, the foundation is the same. A good balanced mix of lean protein and calcium, whole grains, a rainbow of fruits and vegetables, and healthy fats. Sound familiar? It should. After all, it's what good nutrition is all about. And here's some more good news. Even if you're coming to your pregnancy and bellying up to the table with less than ideal eating habits, changing them to follow the pregnancy diet won't be that tough, especially if you're committed to making the changes. There are healthy alternatives for almost every less healthy food and beverage you've ever brought to your lips, which means there are nourishing ways to have your cake and cookies and chips and even fast food and eat it too. Plus, there are countless ways to sneak crucial vitamins and minerals into recipes and favorite dishes so you can pump up your pregnancy nutrition without shortchanging your taste buds. And now for the reality check. What's presented in this chapter is the ideal, the best possible plan for eating well when you're expecting. Something you should strive for, absolutely, but nothing you should stress over. Maybe you'll choose to follow the diet closely, at least most of the time, or you'll follow it loosely, all of the time, or you'll do the best you can, which won't always be that great, especially when you're crazy queasy or when food cravings send you careening into the candy aisle, or when reflux keeps coming up. But even if you keep your allegiance to burgers and fries, you'll pick up at least a few pointers in this chapter that will help nourish you and your baby better during the next 9 months. Salad with that burger?
Have it your way. Have your doubts about diets? Not a fan of eating plans? Just don't like being told what to eat or how much? No problem. The pregnancy diet is one way to feed yourself and your baby well, but it definitely isn't the only way. A balanced, healthy diet, one that includes plenty of lean protein, calcium-rich foods, whole grains, a rainbow of fruits and vegetables, healthy fats, plus about 300 extra calories a day, will get the job done too. So if you'd rather not keep track, don't. Eat well your way. 9 basic principles for 9 months of healthy eating.
Bites count. Chew on this. You've got 9 months of meals, snacks, nibbles, and noshes ahead of you. Each one of them is an opportunity to feed your baby well before he or she is even born. A chance to make a down payment on a healthier future for your little one. So open wide, but think first. Try to make your pregnancy bites count by choosing them, at least most of the time, with baby in mind. All calories are not created equal. Choose your calories with care, selecting quality over quantity when you can. It may seem obvious and inherently unfair, but those 200 calories in a donut are not equal to the 200 calories in a whole grain muffin. Also not equal, the 100 calories in a handful of potato chips and the 100 calories in a handful of almonds. Your baby will benefit a lot more from 2,000 nutrient-rich calories daily than from 2,000 mostly empty ones. And your body will show the benefits postpartum as well. Starve yourself, starve your baby. Your baby needs regular nourishment at regular intervals. And as the sole caterer of your uterine cafe, only you can provide it. Even if you're not hungry, your baby is. So try not to skip meals. In fact, eating frequently may be the best route to a well-nourished fetus. Research shows that moms-to-be who eat at least 5 times a day, 3 meals plus 2 snacks or 6 mini-meals, for instance, are more likely to carry to term. Of course, that's easier said than done, especially if the thought of eating has you hugging the toilet. Efficiency is effective. Think it's possible to meet every daily dozen each and every day? Let's see, 6 whole grains means 1 every 4 hours. Worry that even if you do manage to eat it all, you'll end up looking like a pregnant blimp? Think again and worry no more. Instead, become an efficiency expert. Get more nutritional bang for your buck by choosing foods that are lightweights when it comes to calories, heavy hitters when it comes to nutrients. Need an example? A crispy, Reed fried chicken sandwich at about 700 calories is a considerably less efficient way of netting a protein serving than a turkey burger, about 300 calories. A cup and a half of ice cream, about 500 calories, way more if you're choosing the premium stuff, is a fun but less efficient way of scoring a calcium serving than a cup of non-fat frozen yogurt. Still fun, but with 200 fewer calories. Using the same model of efficiency, choose lean meats over fatty ones, fat-free or low-fat milk and dairy products over full-fat versions, grilled or broiled foods over fried, and saute using a tablespoon of olive oil, not a quarter cup. Another trick of the efficient eating trade? Select foods that are overachievers in more than one daily dozen category, so you can fill two or more requirements at once. Efficiency is important, too, if you're having trouble gaining weight. To start tipping the scale toward a healthier weight gain, choose foods that are dense in nutrients and calories. Avocados, nuts, and dried fruits, for instance, that can fill you and your baby out without filling you up too much. Carbohydrates are a complex issue. What do you think of when you think of carbs? If it's extra pounds, you're not alone. Carbs have long been dissed and dismissed out of hand and off the table by the weight conscious. And that's too bad, especially when it comes to weight conscious expecting moms who could stand to gain a lot of nutrients without gaining a lot of weight by eating the right kind of carbs, the complex kind. Sure, refined carbs in white rice, white bread, and pasta, white potatoes are nutritional slackers, adding calories but little else. Another downer, they can send blood sugar soaring and then crashing. But complex carbs, whole grain breads and cereal, brown rice, fruits and veggies, and beans, supply a bundle of B vitamins, trace minerals, protein, and fiber, contributing way more than calories. They're good not only for baby, but also for you. They'll help keep nausea and constipation in check. And because they are filling and fiber-rich, they'll help keep your weight gain in check, too. Research suggests yet another bonus for complex carb consumers. Eating plenty of fiber may reduce the risk of developing gestational diabetes.
Try these instead. Looking for healthy alternatives to your not-so-healthy favorite foods? Here are some ideas to get you started. Instead of potato chips, try lentil, soy, kale, or whole grain corn chips. Instead of a bag of M&Ms, try trail mix with a few M&Ms. Instead of Skittles, try frozen grapes. Instead of before-dinner pretzels, before-dinner edamame. Instead of hot fudge sundae, try frozen yogurt with fruit and nuts. Instead of taco chips and cheese sauce, try veggies and cheese sauce. Instead of French fries, try baked sweet potato fries. Instead of anything on white bread, try anything on whole wheat bread. Instead of soda, try sparkling water with a splash of juice. Instead of a slice of apple pie, try a baked apple. 1,000 Days to a Healthier Future. Want to know how to unlock a healthier future for your yet-to-be-born baby? Scientists have found one of the most important keys, good nutrition for the first 1,000 days of baby's life, counting from pregnancy to the second birthday. These first 1,000 days can lay the foundation for a lifetime of good health, lowering a baby's risk of becoming obese and a host of preventable chronic diseases, from type 2 diabetes to heart disease. They can also boost brain development and improve the chance of success in school and beyond. Think of these next 9 months of eating well as the first installment of your baby's vital first 1,000 days. To learn more, go to 1000days.org.
Sweet nothings are exactly that. There's no gentle way to put this. Sugar calories, sadly, are empty calories. And empty calories aren't sugar's only shortfall. A heavy consumption has been linked to a variety of health concerns, from obesity to colon cancer. In pregnancy, too much sugar can turn into too many pounds, but it can also increase the risk of developing gestational diabetes, as well as tooth decay. You're already extra susceptible when you're expecting. Another strike against sugar, large amounts are likely to show up in nutritionally underachieving foods and drinks. You're probably better off skipping anyway. Say, candy and soda. Refined sugar goes by many names on the supermarket shelves, including corn syrup and dehydrated cane juice. Honey, an unrefined sugar, has a nutritional edge because it contains disease-fighting antioxidants. Plus, it is more likely to find its way into more nutritious foods. Still, it's smart to try limiting your intake of sugar in all its forms. Satisfy your sweet tooth the wholesome way by substituting fruit, fresh, dried or freeze-dried, fruit juice concentrate, and fruit purees for sugar whenever you can. You can also find sweet revenge in the calorie-free or low-calorie sugar substitutes that seem to be safe for pregnancy use.
Skip that side of guilt. Willpower has its place, particularly while you're trying to eat well for two. Still, everyone needs to give in to temptation now and then without feeling guilty about it. So treat yourself to a treat when you really want one and without a side of eater's remorse. But even as you venture down the path of least nutritious, try to pump it up. Add fresh strawberries and walnuts to your sundae. Choose a dark chocolate bar that's filled with almonds. Share that serving of onion rings, or take a slender slice of pecan pie instead of a slab. And remember to stop before you get too carried away. Otherwise, you might just begin to feel that guilt coming your way after all.
Good foods remember where they came from. Nature knows a thing or two about nutrition, so it's not surprising that the most nutritious foods are often the ones that haven't strayed far from their original nature-formulated recipe. Choose fresh vegetables and fruits when they're in season, or nothing added frozen when fresh are unavailable or you don't have time to prepare them. Freeze-dried is another nutritious and convenient way to go. You'll find the flavor of freeze-dried fruits and veggies is more intense. The texture, crunchy and satisfying, and the calorie counts low compared with traditionally dried. And when it comes to prep, less is more. More nutrients, that is. Try to eat some raw vegetables and fruit every day, and when you're cooking, opt for steaming or a light stir fry, so more vitamins and minerals will be retained. It's no secret that processed foods don't grow on trees. They're produced on an assembly line, where they not only pick up plenty of chemicals, fat, and sugar, and salt, but lose a lot of nutritional value, too. So stick with nature's model when you can, and choose fresh roasted turkey breasts over processed turkey, mac and cheese made with whole grain macaroni and natural cheese over the bright orange variety, fresh oatmeal made from rolled oats over the lower fiber and super sugary instant varieties. Healthy eating begins at home. Let's face it, it isn't easy to nibble on fresh fruit when your darling dearest is diving headfirst into a vat of ice cream right next to you on the sofa, or to reach for a cheese stick when he's filled the cabinets with cheese doodles. So enlist him and other family members in making your home a healthy food zone. Make whole grain your house bread. Stock your freezer with frozen yogurt and ban the unhealthy snacks you can't help attacking when they're within reach. And don't stop after delivery. Healthy eating is linked not only with a better pregnancy outcome, but with a lower risk of many diseases, including type 2 diabetes and heart disease. Bad habits can sabotage a good diet. Eating well is only part of the healthy prenatal picture. If you haven't already, change your other lifestyle habits for the better.
Eating well with WIC. Worried you won't be able to afford to eat well when you're expecting? If your income qualifies you, you could be eligible for the Women, Infants, and Children's Program, WIC, a supplemental food and nutrition program for pregnant women, new moms, and children under 5. Through the WIC program, moms-to-be and their little ones receive checks or vouchers that can be used in the local grocery store to buy healthy food, such as eggs, milk, cheese, beans, whole grain bread, and fruits and vegetables. WIC also provides nutrition education and counseling at their clinics, as well as screening and referrals to other health, welfare, and social services. For more information and to see if you're eligible, go to fns.usda.gov/WIC. The six-meal solution. Too bloated, queasy, heartburned, or constipated, or all of the above, to contemplate a full meal? No matter what tummy troubles are getting you down or keeping food from staying down, you'll find it easier to spread your daily dozen into 5 or 6 mini meals instead of those standard 3 squares. A grazing approach keeps your blood sugar level, so you'll get an energy boost too. And who couldn't use that? And you'll have fewer headaches and fewer wild mood swings. The Pregnancy Daily Dozen. What to eat every day.
If you'd like to see any of the illustrations from this chapter, you can download and print out a special PDF from the same Audible page where you purchase your audiobook. Calories. Technically, a pregnant woman is eating for two. Rejoice, food lovers. But it's important to remember that one of the two is a tiny developing fetus whose caloric needs are significantly lower than a mom's, a mere 300 on average a day, more or less. Sorry, food lovers. So on average, you now need only about 300 calories more a day than you used to eat pre-pregnancy. The equivalent of 2 glasses of skim milk and a bowl of oatmeal. Not exactly the all-you-can-eat Sunday bar you might have been envisioning. Pretty easy to spend or overspend, given the extra nutritional requirements of pregnancy. What's more, during the first trimester, you probably don't need any extra calories at all. That baby you're growing is only pea size, unless you're trying to compensate for starting out underweight. By the time your metabolism speeds up during the second trimester, you can aim for 300 to 350 extra calories. Later in pregnancy, when your baby is much bigger, you may need even more, or upward of about 500 extra calories a day. Eating more calories than you and your baby need isn't only unnecessary, but it can lead to excessive weight gain. Eating too few calories, on the other hand, is also unhealthy as pregnancy progresses. Moms-to-be who don't take in enough calories during the second and third trimesters can slow the growth of their babies. There are 4 exceptions to this basic formula, and if any apply to you, it will be important to ask your practitioner for input on your calorie input. If you're overweight, you can possibly do with fewer calories, as long as you have the right nutritional guidance. You'll have to focus even more on quality. If you're seriously underweight, you'll need more calories so you can catch up weight-wise. If you're a teen, you're still growing yourself, which means you have unique nutritional needs. Though calories, again, may depend on whether you're underweight, overweight, or just about the right weight. And if you're carrying multiples, you'll have to add about 300 calories for each baby. But while calories count during pregnancy, they don't have to be literally counted. No need to add them up at every meal or keep a running log of what you ate when. How will you know if you're getting the right number of calories then? Simple. Just watch your weight gain. If your weight gain is right on target, you're eating the right number of calories. If you're gaining too little or too slowly, you're eating too few calories. And if you're gaining too much too fast, you're eating too many. Just maintain or adjust your food intake as necessary, but be careful not to cut out nutrients you need along with calories. Just be extra efficient in your eating. Protein foods, 3 servings daily. How does your baby grow? Using, among other nutrients, the amino acids, the building blocks of human cells, from the protein you eat each day. Because your baby's cells are multiplying rapidly, protein is an extremely vital component of your pregnancy diet. If the recommended 75 grams per day sounds like a lot, keep in mind that most Americans, including you most likely, consume at least that much daily without even trying, and those on high-protein diets pack away a lot more. When tallying your protein servings, don't forget to count the protein found in many high-calcium foods, like cheese and yogurt, especially Greek, as well as in whole grains and beans. Every day, aim to have 3 of the following. Each one is 1 protein serving, or about 25 grams of protein, or a combination equivalent to 3 servings. Keep in mind that most of the dairy options also fill your calcium requirement, which makes them especially efficient choices. 24 ounces, 3 8-ounce glasses, of milk or buttermilk. 1 cup cottage cheese. 2 cups yogurt or 1 1/4 cups Greek yogurt. 3 ounces, 3/4 cup grated, of cheese. 4 large whole eggs. 7 large egg whites. 3.5 ounces drained, canned tuna or sardines. 4 ounces drained, canned salmon. 4 ounces cooked shellfish. 4 ounces before cooking, fresh fish. 4 ounces before cooking, skinless chicken, turkey, duck, or other poultry. 4 ounces before cooking, lean beef, lamb, veal, pork, or buffalo.
Way to go! With whey protein bars, powders, and shake mixes way popular these days, you might be wondering whether they're, well, the way to go when you're trying to get your share of pregnancy protein. While there's a lack of scientific evidence on the use of whey protein during pregnancy or breastfeeding, most experts say it's probably okay to turn to in moderation as long as you follow these caveats. First, since whey protein is made from cow's milk, you'll have to avoid it if you're allergic to milk or are lactose intolerant. Second, check out all the ingredients in whey products, since some contain added sweeteners, artificial and natural, herbs, enzymes, and other components that may not be pregnancy appropriate. Third, be sure to check the vitamin and mineral content of the whey products you're eating. Some are so heavily fortified, they could put you way over the limit for certain nutrients. And finally, remember that whey protein shouldn't be the only way you score protein. Try to balance it with other sources.
Calcium foods, 4 servings daily. Back in elementary school, you probably learned that growing children need plenty of calcium for strong bones and teeth. Well, so do growing fetuses on their way to becoming growing children. Calcium is also vital for muscle, heart, and nerve development, blood clotting, and enzyme activity. But it's not only your baby who stands to lose when you don't get enough calcium. If incoming supplies aren't keeping up, your baby-making factory will tap into the calcium in your own bones to help meet its quota, setting you up for osteoporosis later in life. Another good reason to bone up on calcium now. Can't stomach the taste of milk by the glassful? Luckily, calcium doesn't have to be served in glasses at all. It can be served up as a cup of yogurt or a piece of cheese. It can be enjoyed in smoothies, soups, casseroles, cereals, dips, sauces, desserts, and more. The lactose intolerant can easily substitute lactose-free dairy products. Milk, cottage cheese, and even ice cream come lactose-free. For those who don't eat dairy products at all, calcium also comes in non-dairy form. A glass of calcium-fortified orange juice, for instance, efficiently provides a serving of calcium, along with a serving of vitamin C. A glass of calcium-fortified almond milk also provides a serving of calcium and tastes great in smoothies. For vegans or others who can't be sure they're getting enough calcium in their diets, a supplement, one that includes vitamin D, may be recommended. Aim for 4 servings of calcium-rich foods each day, or any combination of them that is equivalent to 4 servings. So don't forget to count that half cup of yogurt, that sprinkle of cheese. Each serving listed below contains about 300 milligrams of calcium. You need a total of about 1,200 milligrams a day. And many also fill your protein requirements. 1/4 cup grated cheese. 1 ounce hard cheese. 1/2 cup pasteurized ricotta cheese. 1 cup milk or buttermilk. 5 ounces calcium added milk. 1 cup yogurt or Greek yogurt. 1.5 cups frozen yogurt. 1 cup calcium fortified juice. 1 cup almond milk or coconut milk. 4 ounces canned salmon with bones. 3 ounces canned sardines with bones. 3 tablespoons ground sesame seeds. 1 cup cooked greens such as kale or collards, 1.5 cups cooked Chinese cabbage or bok choy, 1.5 cups cooked edamame. You'll also score a calcium bonus by eating cottage cheese, tofu, dried figs, almonds, broccoli, spinach, and dried beans. Vitamin C foods, 3 servings daily. You and your baby both need vitamin C for tissue repair, wound healing, and various other metabolic, in other words, nutrient-using processes. Your baby also needs it for proper growth and for the development of strong bones and teeth. Since vitamin C is a nutrient the body can't store, a fresh supply is needed every day. Lucky for you, vitamin C usually comes from foods that naturally taste good, even when you're feeling green. As you'll see from the list of vitamin C foods below, the old standby orange juice, reliable as it is far from the only or even the best source of this essential vitamin. Aim for at least 3 vitamin C servings every day. Again, your body needs a daily dose since it can't be stashed. Fruit fanatic? Help yourself to more. Keep in mind that many vitamin C foods also fill the requirement for green, leafy, and yellow vegetables and yellow fruit. 1/2 medium grapefruit, 1/2 cup grapefruit juice, 1/2 medium orange, 1/2 cup orange juice, 2 tablespoons juice concentrate, 1/4 cup lemon juice, 1/2 medium mango, 1/4 medium papaya, 1/8 small cantaloupe or honeydew, 1/2 cup cubed, 1/3 cup strawberries, 2/3 cup blackberries or raspberries, 1/2 medium kiwi, 1/2 cup diced fresh pineapple, 2 cups diced watermelon, 1/4 cup freeze-dried mango, strawberries, or other vitamin C-rich fruit, 1/4 medium red, yellow, or orange bell pepper, 1/2 medium green bell pepper, 1/2 cup raw or cooked broccoli, 1 medium tomato, 3/4 cup tomato juice, 1/2 cup vegetable juice, 1/2 cup raw or cooked cauliflower, 1/2 cup cooked kale, 3/4 cup kale chips, 1 packed cup raw spinach or 1/2 cup cooked, 3/4 cup cooked collard, mustard, or turnip greens, 2 cups romaine lettuce, 3/4 cup shredded raw red cabbage, 1 sweet potato or baking potato baked in its skin, 1 cup cooked edamame.
Count 'em once, count 'em twice. Many of your favorite foods fill more than 1 daily dozen requirement in each serving, giving you 2 for the calorie price of 1. Case in point, a slice of cantaloupe nets a serving in the green, leafy, and yellow category, and 1 in the vitamin C category, both in 1 delicious package. 1 cup of yogurt yields 1 calcium serving and 1/2 a protein serving, nearly a whole serving if you're reaching for Greek yogurt. Use such overlappers as often as you can to save yourself calories and stomach space.
Green, leafy, and yellow vegetables and yellow fruits, 3 to 4 servings daily. These bunny favorites supply the vitamin A in the form of beta carotene that's vital for cell growth. Your little bunny cells are multiplying at a fantastic rate, and healthy skin, bones, and eyes. This brightly colored family of vegetables and fruits also deliver doses of other essential carotenoids and vitamins, vitamin E, riboflavin, folic acid, and other B vitamins. Numerous minerals, many green leafy vegetables provide a good deal of calcium as well as trace minerals, disease-fighting phytochemicals, and constipation-fighting fiber. A bountiful selection of green leafy and yellow vegetables and yellow fruit can be found in the list that follows. Have a long-standing anti-vegetable agenda or a brand new one thanks to pregnancy aversions? You may be pleasantly surprised to discover that broccoli and spinach are far from the only sources of vitamin A. In fact, orange is the new green when it comes to vitamin A. This vitamin comes packaged in some of nature's sweetest orange-fleshed offerings, including apricots, mangoes, yellow peaches, and cantaloupe, as well as butternut squash, pumpkin, and sweet potato. And those who like to drink their vegetables can count a glass of vegetable juice, a bowl of carrot soup, or a mango smoothie toward their daily green leafy and yellow goal. Try to eat at least 3 to 4 servings a day. Aim to have some raw and some cooked, some green and some yellow each day. But don't force the green if it turns you green. Stick with the mellow yellows. Remember, many of these foods also fill a vitamin C serving. 1/8 of a cantaloupe, 1/2 cup cubed. 2 large fresh apricots, or 6 dried apricot halves. 1/2 medium mango. 1/4 medium papaya. 1 large nectarine or yellow peach. 1 small persimmon. 1/4 cup freeze-dried mango or other vitamin A-rich fruit. 3/4 cup pink grapefruit juice. 1 pink or ruby red grapefruit. 1 clementine. 1/2 carrot, 1/4 cup grated. 1/2 cup raw or cooked broccoli pieces. 1 cup coleslaw mix. 1/4 cup cooked collard greens, Swiss chard, or kale. 1 packed cup green leafy lettuce, such as romaine, arugula, or red or green leaf. 1 packed cup raw spinach or 1/2 cup cooked. 1/4 cup cooked winter squash. 1/2 small sweet potato or yam. 2 medium tomatoes. 1/2 medium red bell pepper. 1/4 cup chopped parsley. Other fruits and vegetables, 1 to 2 servings daily. While others were once considered the produce department's nutritional B-listers, they're now getting a second look. Turns out they're rich not only in minerals such as potassium and magnesium that are vital to good pregnancy health, but also in a host of other trace minerals. Many also have phytochemicals and antioxidants in abundance, particularly those that sport the colors of the rainbow. So pick produce that's brightly hued for the biggest nutritional return. From that apple a day to those headline-making blueberries and pomegranates, other fruits and vegetables are definitely worthy of a spot in your daily diet. Round out your produce picks with 1 to 2 from this list daily. 1 medium apple. 1/2 cup apple juice or applesauce. 2 tablespoons apple juice concentrate. 1 medium banana. 1/2 cup blueberries. 1/2 cup pitted cherries. 1 cup grapes. 1 medium peach. 1 medium pear or 2 dried halves. 1/2 cup unsweetened pineapple juice. 2 small plums. 1/2 cup pomegranate juice. 1/4 cup freeze-dried fruit of the other variety. 1/2 medium avocado. 1/2 cup cooked beans. 1/2 cup fresh raw mushrooms. 1/2 cup cooked okra. 1/2 cup sliced onion. 1/2 cup cooked parsnips. 1/2 cup cooked zucchini. 1 small ear sweet corn. 1 cup shredded iceberg lettuce. 1/2 cup green garden peas or snow peas.
You can't tell a fruit by its cover. When it comes to nutrition, the more vibrant the color of most fruits and vegetables, the more antioxidants, vitamins, especially vitamin A, and minerals you'll be able to harvest from them. Explore the color purple. Cabbage, potatoes, even cauliflower come in purple. A rainbow assortment of berries, orange carrots and mangoes, bright red, orange and yellow bell peppers and tomatoes, and all the greens you can think of, from broccoli to kale to Swiss chard. But keep in mind that it's the color inside, not outside, that usually signals exceptionally good nutrition. So while cucumber, pale inside, is a lightweight, cantaloupe and kiwi, dark inside, are standouts.
Whole grains, 6 or more servings a day. There are plenty of reasons to go with the grain. Whole grains are packed with nutrients, particularly the B vitamins, except for vitamin B12, found only in animal products, that are needed for just about every part of your baby's body. These concentrated complex carbohydrates are also rich in iron and trace minerals, such as zinc, selenium, and magnesium, all very important in pregnancy. An added plus, carbs can calm a queasy tummy and combat constipation. Though these selections have many nutrients in common, each one has its own strengths. To net the best benefits, include a variety of whole grains and legumes in your diet. Be adventurous. Coat your fish or chicken with whole wheat breadcrumbs seasoned with herbs and Parmesan cheese. Try quinoa, a tasty high-protein grain, or whole wheat couscous as a side dish, or add bulgur or wheat berries to wild rice pilaf. Use oats in your favorite cookie recipe. Substitute navy beans for lima beans in your soup. And though you'll likely sometimes eat them, remember that refined grains just don't stack up nutritionally. Even if they're enriched, they're still lacking in fiber, protein, and more than a dozen vitamins and trace minerals that are found in the original whole grain. Aim for about 6 from this list every day. Don't forget that many also contribute to your protein intake, often significantly. One slice whole wheat, whole oat, brown rice, whole rye, or other whole grain bread, or white whole wheat. 1/2 cup whole grain pita, roll, bagel, 12-inch wrap, tortilla, or English muffin. 1 ounce whole grain crackers, soy crisps, or lentil chips. 1 cup cooked whole grain cereal, such as oatmeal. 1 cup whole grain ready-to-eat cereal. Serving sizes vary, so check labels. 1/2 cup granola, 2 tablespoons wheat germ. 1/2 cup cooked brown, black, or wild rice. 1/2 cup cooked millet, bulgur, couscous, buckwheat, barley, farro, or quinoa. 1 ounce before cooking, whole grain, bean, or soy pasta. 1/2 cup cooked beans, lentils, split peas, or edamame. 2 cups popcorn. 1/4 cup whole grain or soy flour.
White whole wheat. Not a wholehearted fan of whole wheat? Craving the comfort of white during your queasy days? There's a new bread in town that might be just the ticket. White whole wheat breads are made with whole white wheat, a grain that has a milder, sweeter taste than the red wheat that regular whole wheat's made from. Is white whole wheat the best thing since sliced bread? It may well be if you're a white bread fan, since it offers the same nutritional benefits of regular whole wheat, including the bran, with that just-like white taste and texture. Just be sure to read labels, since white wheat bread isn't whole grain unless it says so. You can also find white whole wheat in flour form. Use it instead of regular whole wheat flour for lighter, less dense baked goods, pancakes, and more.
Iron-rich foods. Some daily. Since large amounts of iron are essential for the developing blood supply of your baby and for your own expanding blood supply, you'll need to pump up your iron intake during those 9 months. Because it's often difficult to fill the pregnancy iron requirement through diet alone, your practitioner may recommend that you take a daily iron supplement in addition to your prenatal vitamins from the 20th week on, or whenever routine testing shows an iron shortfall. To enhance the absorption of the iron, take it between meals with a fruit juice rich in vitamin C, caffeinated beverages and acids, high fiber foods, and high calcium foods can interfere with iron absorption. Eat your iron-rich foods with a side of seed too. Small amounts of iron are found in most of the fruits, vegetables, grains, and meats you eat every day. But try to have some of the following iron-rich foods daily. Again, many iron-rich foods also fill other requirements at the same time. Beef, buffalo, duck, turkey. Cooked clams, oysters, mussels, and shrimp. Sardines. Spinach, collard, kale, and turnip greens. Seaweed. Pumpkin seeds. Oat bran. Barley, bulgur, quinoa. Beans and peas, edamame and soy products, dried fruit, fat and high-fat foods, about 4 servings daily. Now here's a requirement that's not only easy to fill, but easy to overfill. And though there's no harm and probably some benefit in having a couple of extra green leafies or vitamin C foods, excess fat servings could spell excess pounds. Still, though sensibly moderating your fat intake during pregnancy is a good idea, eliminating all fat from your expectant diet isn't. Fat is vital to a developing baby. The essential fatty acids in them are just that, essential. Especially beneficial in the third trimester are omega-3 fatty acids. Keep track of your fat intake, fill your daily quota, but try not to overfill it. And in keeping track, don't forget that the fat used in cooking and preparing foods counts too. The butter you scrambled your eggs in, the mayo you tossed your coleslaw with. The good news is adding some fat to the preparation of your veggies boosts your body's absorption of their nutrients. If you're not gaining enough weight and increasing your intake of other nutritious foods hasn't done the trick, try adding an extra fat serving each day. The concentrated calories it provides may help you hit your optimum weight gain stride. If you're gaining too quickly, you can cut back by one or two servings. But again, don't cut fat out altogether. The foods on this list are made up completely or mostly of fat. They certainly won't be the only source of fat in your diet. Full-fat cheeses and yogurts, some meats, and nuts and seeds are all high in fat. But these added fats are the only ones you'll want to keep track of. If your weight gain is on target, aim for about 4 full, about 14 grams each, or 8 half, about 7 grams each, fat servings each day. If it's not, consider adjusting your fat intake up or down. 1 tablespoon oil, such as vegetable, olive, canola, grapeseed, or sesame. 1 tablespoon regular butter or margarine. 1 tablespoon regular mayonnaise. 2 tablespoons regular salad dressing. 2 tablespoons heavy or whipping cream. 1/4 cup half and half. 1/4 cup whipped cream. 1/4 cup regular sour cream. 2 tablespoons regular cream cheese. 2 tablespoons peanut, almond, or other nut butter.
Fat matters. Trying to keep those calories down by skipping the dressing on your salad or the oil in your stir fry? You'd be getting an A for willpower, but less vitamin A in your veggies. Research shows that many of the nutrients found in vegetables aren't well absorbed by the body if not accompanied by a side of fat. So make a point of including a little fat with your veggies. Enjoy oil with your stir fry, a sprinkle of nuts on your broccoli, and dressing with your salad.
Omega-3 fatty acids. Are you fat phobic, especially since pregnancy put you on the weight gain fast track? Fear not your fat. Just choose the right ones. After all, not all fats are created equal. Some fats are good ones, and they're especially good. Make that great when you're expecting. Omega-3 fatty acids, most notably DHA, are the best addition you can make to your diet when you're eating for two. That's because DHA is essential for proper brain growth and eye development in fetuses and young babies. In fact, researchers have found that toddlers whose moms consume plenty of DHA during pregnancy had better hand-eye coordination than their peers, though it's unclear if this translates to boosted brain power later in childhood. Getting enough of this vital baby brain fuel in your diet is especially important during the last trimester, when your baby's brain grows at a phenomenal pace. And while you're nursing, the DHA content of a baby's brain triples during the first 3 months of life. And what's good for the expected is also good for the expecting. For you, getting enough DHA may mean moderated mood swings and a lowered risk of postpartum depression. Another potential postpartum perk? Getting enough DHA when you're expecting could mean your baby will have better sleep habits later on. Luckily, DHA is found in plenty of foods you probably already eat and like to eat. Salmon, choose wild when you can, and other higher-fat fish, such as sardines. Canned light tuna, walnuts, arugula, DHA-rich eggs, often called omega-3 eggs, grass-fed beef or buffalo, crab and shrimp. Free-range or pasture-raised chickens usually have more DHA. You can also ask your practitioner about pregnancy-safe, mercury-free DHA supplements. Many prenatal supplements contain up to 200 to 300 milligrams of DHA already. Not a fan of the fishy aftertaste some DHA supplements leave behind, and that often repeat? There are vegetarian and vegan alternatives that are fish-free.
A grain of salt. Trying to shake the salt habit because you're afraid it'll lead to water retention and swelling? Well, it may, but that's not such a bad thing when you're pregnant. In fact, some increase in body fluids in pregnancy, aka that swelling you're figuring isn't so swell, is necessary and normal. And a moderate amount of salt, sodium, is needed to maintain that extra fluid. Seriously skimping on sodium can actually be harmful during pregnancy. Still, most Americans, including pregnant Americans, consume far too much sodium. Consuming very large quantities of salt and very salty foods frequently, such as those pickles you can't stop eating, extra soy sauce on your already salty stir fry, and super salty potato chips by the bagful, isn't good for anyone, pregnant or not. High sodium intake is closely linked to high blood pressure, a condition that can cause complications in pregnancy, labor, and delivery. As a general rule, salt only lightly, or don't salt at all during cooking. Salt your food to taste at the table instead. Have a pickle when you crave it, but try to stop at one or two instead of eating half the jar. And unless your practitioner recommends otherwise, because you are hyperthyroid, for example, use iodized salt to be sure you meet the increased need for iodine in pregnancy. In fact, be sure to check the label of the salt you're using to make sure it's got iodine in it. Most sea salts, for example, don't contain iodine. About one-third of moms-to-be are iodine deficient, a problem when you're growing a baby, since iodine is needed for healthy brain development of the fetus.
Fluids. As much as you need. You're not only eating for two, but drinking for two. Your baby's body, like yours, is composed mostly of fluids. As that little body grows, so does its demand for fluids. Your own body needs fluids more than ever, too, since pregnancy pumps up fluid volume significantly. Water also eases constipation, rids your body of toxins and waste products, and babies, too, and reduces excessive swelling and the risk of UTIs and preterm labor. So it's important you get enough fluids when you're expecting. But just how much is enough? As a pregnant rule of thumb, experts recommend you aim for about 10 glasses, 8 ounces each, of fluid per day. That plus fluids from the food you eat, which could add up if you're a big salad eater or watermelon lover, should easily get you to what's considered an adequate intake for moms-to-be. Just keep in mind that fluid needs during pregnancy or at any time are, well, fluid. They vary depending on a woman's activity level, where she lives, what she eats, her BMI, the weather, and a whole host of other variables. It can even vary from day to day if one day is spent at a sunny beach and the next at an air-conditioned wall, or if one day is active and one is sedentary. Fortunately, your body is likely to tell you how much fluid it needs. So listen up. Sip whenever you're starting to feel thirsty, or preferably before. Reach for the water bottle, too, when you're sweating more than usual, such as when you're exercising or when it's hot outside, when you've been vomiting, or if you're retaining a lot of fluid. Paradoxically, extra fluids can flush out excess fluids. And the best gauge of your fluid intake, your fluid output. If your urine is pale straw-colored and there's plenty of it, you're getting enough to drink. If it's dark yellow and scant, you need to drink more. Of course, not all your fluids have to come from water. You get a good share of fluids from milk, which is two-thirds water, almond or coconut milk, coconut water, fruit and vegetable juices, and soups. Fruit and vegetables count too, especially juicy ones like watermelon. Prenatal vitamin supplements. A pregnancy formula taken daily. With all the nutrients already packed into the daily dozen or any healthy diet, why would you need to add a prenatal vitamin to the mix? Couldn't you fill all of your requirements by filling yourself with the right foods? Well, you probably could. That is, if you lived in a laboratory where your food was precisely prepared and measured to calculate an adequate daily intake, and if you never ate on the run, had to work through lunch, or felt too sick to eat. In the real world, the one you most likely live in, A prenatal supplement provides extra health insurance for you and your baby, covering those nutritional bases when your diet doesn't. And that's why taking one daily is recommended. Chances are your practitioner will prescribe or recommend a supplement which will take the guesswork out of choosing a formula yourself. And while prescription prenatals contain more folate and D, the OTC ones almost always meet the minimum requirements, so no need to pay more for the RX version unless your practitioner says so. Still, a supplement is just a supplement. No pill or powder or gummy, no matter how complete, can replace a good diet. It's best if most of your vitamins and minerals come from foods, because that's the way nutrients can be most effectively used. Fresh foods contain not only nutrients that we know about and can be synthesized in a pill, but probably lots of others that are as yet undiscovered. Food also supplies fiber and water. Fruits and vegetables are loaded with both, and important calories and protein, none of which comes sufficiently packaged in a pill. But don't think that because a little is good, a lot is better. Any vitamin or mineral supplementation beyond what's found in your prenatal should be taken only if your practitioner has recommended it. And the same goes for herbal supplements too. As for vitamins and minerals you can get from your diet, you can't overdo the nutrients by piling up your plate at the salad bar. So no need to hold back when the carrots call or the broccoli beckons.
What's in a supplement? What's in a prenatal pill, powder, or gummy? That depends on which one you're taking. Since there aren't any standards set for prenatal supplements, formulas vary. Chances are your practitioner will prescribe or recommend a supplement, which will take the guesswork out of choosing a formula yourself. If you're facing the pharmacy shelves without a recommendation, look for a formula that contains no more than 4,000 IU, 800 micrograms of vitamin A. Amounts over 10,000 IU could be toxic. Many manufacturers have reduced the amount of vitamin A in their vitamin supplements or have replaced it with beta-carotene, a much safer source of vitamin A. At least 400 to 600 micrograms of folic acid, folate. 250 milligrams of calcium. Though if you're not getting enough calcium in your diet, you will need to take an extra calcium supplement to reach the daily pregnancy quota for calcium of 1,200 milligrams. Do not take more than 250 milligrams of calcium at the same time as supplementary iron, because calcium interferes with iron absorption. 30 milligrams of iron. 50 to 80 milligrams of vitamin C. 15 milligrams of zinc. 2 milligrams of copper. 2 milligrams of vitamin B6. At least 400 IU of vitamin D. Approximately the DRI for vitamin E, 15 milligrams, thiamine, 1.4 milligrams, riboflavin, 1.4 milligrams, niacin, 18 milligrams, and vitamin B12, 2.6 milligrams. Most prenatal supplements contain 2 to 3 times the DRI of these. There are no known harmful effects from such doses. 150 micrograms of iodine. Not all prenatals contain iodine or this amount of it. Some formulas may also contain magnesium, selenium, fluoride, biotin, choline, phosphorus, pantothenic acid, extra B6 to combat queasiness, ginger, ditto, and or baby brain boosting DHA. Also important, scan for ingredients that shouldn't be in your prenatal supplement, such as herbs. When in doubt, ask your practitioner. And while prescription prenatals contain more folate and D, the OTC ones almost always meet the minimum requirements, so no need to pay more for the RX version unless your practitioner says so. What you may be wondering about for your pregnancy diet and nutrition.
Milk-free diet.
I'm lactose intolerant, and drinking 4 glasses of milk a day would make me feel really sick. But don't babies need milk?
It's not milk your baby needs, it's calcium. Since milk is one of nature's finest and most convenient sources of calcium in the American diet, It's the one most often recommended for filling the greatly increased requirement during pregnancy. But if milk leaves you with more than a sour taste in your mouth and a white mustache above your lips, got gas, you probably think twice before reaching for that glass of the white stuff. Fortunately, you don't have to suffer so your baby can grow healthy teeth and bones. If you're lactose intolerant or just don't have a taste for milk, plenty of substitutes are available that fill the nutritional bill just as well. Even if regular milk turns your tummy, you can easily turn to lactose-free varieties, ditto other lactose-free dairy. You may find that your tummy tolerates hard cheeses and fully processed yogurts, the active cultures in them actually helps your digestion, as well as dairy products made from pasteurized goat's or sheep's milk. Another advantage of using lactose-free milk products, some are fortified with extra calcium. Check labels and choose one that is. Taking a lactase tablet before ingesting regular milk or milk products, or adding lactase drops to regular milk, can also minimize or eliminate dairy-induced tummy troubles. Even if you've been lactose intolerant for years, you may be pleasantly surprised to discover that your tummy no longer puts up a fuss in the second or third trimester, conveniently when baby's needs for calcium are greatest. If so, go ahead and indulge in dairy. Just keep in mind that your tummy may have its limits, so keep those lactose-free options open too. Also remember, your free pass to the dairy case will probably expire once baby arrives. If you can't handle any dairy products or you're allergic to them, you can still get all the calcium your baby requires by drinking calcium-fortified juices or almond milk or coconut milk. If your problem with milk isn't physiological, but just a matter of taste, try some of the dairy or non-dairy calcium-rich alternatives. There are bound to be plenty that your taste buds can embrace, or disguise your milk in cereal, soups, and smoothies. If you can't seem to get enough calcium into your diet, ask your practitioner to recommend a calcium supplement. There are plenty of chewable varieties that are sweet revenge for those who find a pill hard to swallow. You'll also need to be sure that you're getting enough vitamin D, which is added to cow's milk. Many calcium supplements include vitamin D, which actually boosts absorption of calcium, and you'll also be getting some in your prenatal supplement.
Pasteurized, please. When it was invented by French scientist Louis Pasteur in the mid-1800s, pasteurization was the greatest thing to happen to dairy products since cows, and it still is, particularly as far as pregnant women are concerned. To protect yourself and your baby from harmful bacteria, make sure all the milk you drink is pasteurized and all the dairy products you eat are made from pasteurized milk. Raw dairy is not pasteurized. Be especially careful when it comes to soft cheeses, fresh mozzarella, feta, brie, blue cheeses, soft Mexican-style cheese, made from raw milk, since these can be contaminated with Listeria, a particularly dangerous bacteria. Choose pasteurized varieties of these cheeses. Domestic is more likely to be pasteurized than imported, but always check the label. Or heat until bubbly before eating. Keep in mind that the raw rage has expanded the number of non-pasteurized products on the market, so pregnant buyer, be wary. And dairy doesn't corner the market when it comes to pasteurization. Eggs come pasteurized too, eliminating the risk of salmonella. A good choice if you're whipping up a homemade Caesar dressing or prefer your yolks runny or your scrambles soft. Juices you drink should also be pasteurized to eliminate E. coli and other harmful bacteria. Most, but not all, commercially packaged juice is pasteurized, so always check the label before you buy. Not sure if a juice is pasteurized or pretty sure it isn't? Say freshly squeezed at the juice bar? Don't drink it. Ditto for smoothies made with juice, unless you're sure it's pasteurized. Fresh coconuts, cut open right in front of you and served with a straw, are fine to drink since the coconut water is sterile and well protected inside the hard coconut shell. Wondering about flash pasteurized? It's a faster but just as effective pasteurization process, which kills bacteria while preserving flavor. And how about juicing you do at home? That's all good and yummy and nutritious,
as long as you've thoroughly washed the produce first.
Red meat-free diet.
I eat chicken and fish, but no red meat. Will my baby get all the necessary nutrients without it?
Your baby won't have a beef with your red meat-free diet. Fish and lean poultry, in fact, give you more baby-building protein and less fat for your calories than most beef, pork, and lamb, making them more efficient pregnancy choices. And like red meat, they're also rich sources of many of the B vitamins your baby needs. The only nutrient poultry and fish can't always compete with meat for is iron. Duck, turkey, and shellfish are iron-rich exceptions. But there are plenty of other sources of this essential mineral, which is also easy to take in supplement form. Vegetarian diet.
As a vegetarian, I'm wondering if I have to change anything in my diet now that I'm expecting a baby.
Vegetarians of every variety can have healthy babies without compromising their dietary principles. They just have to be a little more careful in planning their diets than meat-eating moms-to-be. When choosing your meat-free menus, make sure you get all of the following. Enough protein. For the ovo-lacto vegetarian who eats eggs and dairy products, getting enough protein is as easy as getting enough of those dairy case favorites, particularly if you seek Greek yogurt, an especially potent protein source. If you're a vegan, a vegetarian who doesn't eat any animal products, including eggs and dairy, you may find you'll need to work a little harder in the protein department, turning to ample quantities of dried beans, peas, lentils, tofu, and other soy products. Enough calcium. This is no tall order for the vegetarian who eats dairy products, but it can be trickier for those who don't. Luckily, dairy products are the most obvious, but not the only sources of calcium. Calcium-fortified almond milk and coconut milk and juices offer as much calcium as milk, ounce for ounce. Just make sure you shake them before using. Other non-dairy dietary sources of calcium include dark leafy green vegetables, sesame seeds, almonds, and many soy products such as soy milk, soy cheese, tofu, and tempeh. For added insurance, vegans should probably also take a calcium supplement in addition to their prenatal vitamin. So check with your practitioner for a recommendation, preferably one with vitamin D added. Vitamin B12. Though B12 deficiencies are rare, vegetarians, particularly vegans, often don't get enough of this vitamin because it's only found in animal foods. So be certain to take supplemental B12, as well as folic acid and iron. Ask your practitioner if you need more B12 than what's provided in your prenatal vitamin. Other dietary sources include B12 fortified soy milk, fortified cereals, nutritional yeast, and fortified meat substitutes. Vitamin D. Everyone needs vitamin D in their diet, but vegans who aren't drinking milk or eating fish need to be especially mindful about finding ways to get their D.
Don't be deficient. While the body produces vitamin D when exposed to sunlight, making enough can be challenging, especially for those who have darker skin, live in less sunny climates, don't get outdoors enough, or wear sunscreen. Can you eat or drink your D? Not easily, since it isn't found in large amounts in any food. Fortified milk and juices contain some, as do sardines and egg yolks, but not nearly enough to prevent a D deficit. Your best bet? Ask your practitioner about testing your vitamin D levels and prescribing a supplement as needed.
Low-carb diet.
I've been on a low-carb, high-protein diet to lose weight. Now that I'm pregnant, can I continue eating this way to keep from gaining too much weight?
Here's the lowdown on low-carb. When you're expecting, low isn't the way to go. Going low on any essential nutrient, in fact, isn't smart when you're growing a baby. Your highest pregnancy priority, getting a balance of all the best baby-making ingredients, including the right kind of carbs, those complex ones. As popular as they are, diets that limit all carbohydrates, including fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, limit the nutrients, especially folic acid, that growing fetuses need. And what's bad for baby can also be bad for mom. Skimp on complex carbohydrates and you'll be skimping on constipation-fighting fiber, plus all the B vitamins known to battle morning sickness and pregnancy-unsettled skin. Thinking about being a pregnant paleo? The paleo diet, which mimics the menu of our cave-dwelling ancestors, doesn't quite measure up for modern moms-to-be. Though it includes plenty of animal protein, vegetables, and some fruits and nuts, it excludes dairy, whole grains, and beans, all good sources of essential pregnancy-friendly nutrients. Queasy moms-to-be may also find that having crackers and bread and other stomach-settling carb options off the table may be challenging. Raw diet.
I've been eating an all-raw diet, which makes me feel amazing, full of energy. Do I have to stop now that I'm expecting?
Eating a completely raw diet may be a raw deal for you and your baby for a couple of reasons. Most important, there's always a possibility that raw foods may be contaminated with bacteria that cooking or pasteurizing would otherwise kill. This holds true not only for the obvious suspects, raw dairy products, raw meat, and fish, but also for raw, ready-to-eat foods sold in health food markets that aren't prepared or stored safely. Another consideration, it's hard to get all the nutrients you need during pregnancy when you're eating only raw. Some vitamins are better absorbed when they're cooked. The most notable nutrients you'll miss, vitamin B12, which is impossible to get from raw plant-based food, and D, selenium, zinc, iron, and DHA. Plus, if you're going all raw, you'll have a hard time getting your protein quota safely, which vegetarians and vegans can net from cooked beans and quinoa, for instance, something a raw foodie can't. A good compromise when you're expecting, dig into those raw veggies, serve those salads, and by all means, eat that apple and fresh peach and fresh mango a day. But also remember that some foods were made to be cooked or heat pasteurized, at least when you're baking a baby bun.
Diet don'ts. Pregnancy is a time for healthy eating, not for dieting. So shelve those weight loss books, power down those diet apps, skip the juice cleanses, free yourself of that gluten-free diet, unless you have a celiac disease or gluten intolerance. Be sensible when going raw and stay well-balanced for a well-fed baby. A walk down the health food aisle. Maybe you're a regular at the health food store or aisle, or maybe you're wondering if you should visit it for the first time now that you're trying to be healthy for two. But are health foods always a healthy choice for mamas-to-be? For the most part, yes, with a side of caution. Take flaxseed products, for example, touted for their health benefits, of which they have many. Some practitioners recommend limiting how much flax expectant moms consume in oil, seed, or supplement form, citing animal studies that show that very large amounts may affect a baby's development. Though there's no clear evidence that the same would hold true for human moms and babies. Other practitioners say moderate amounts of flax are fine during pregnancy, especially because it's a good source of baby-friendly omega-3 fatty acids. Unsure whether to reach for the flax? Ask your practitioner for his or her recommendation. What about other health food favorites? Hemp seed, hemp food products, and hemp seed oil in moderation, 1 to 2 servings a day, are probably safe for expectant moms and a good source of protein, fiber, and fatty acids. But since hemp's use during pregnancy has not been well studied, it makes sense to avoid it in large concentrations, as it would be in supplement form. Chia seeds are an excellent source of fiber, omega-3 fatty acids, protein, calcium, and iron. But while a sprinkle on a salad, yogurt, or cereal, or in a smoothie, is likely a safe and nutritious bet, check in with your practitioner before you chow down on chia because, surprise, its safety hasn't been studied in pregnancy. The pregnancy safety of spirulina, a natural algae powder that is high in protein and calcium and is a good source of antioxidants, B vitamins, and other nutrients, also hasn't been established, leading some practitioners to suggest that moms-to-be limit or even avoid using this nutrient-packed powder. Another reason to consider pausing when pregnant before using spirulina,
It's sometimes contaminated with toxins, including heavy metals, as well as harmful bacteria. Same goes for popular green food powders, some of which also contain herbs and supplements that might not be pregnancy safe. Wheatgrass doesn't get a pass either, not only because there's no proof that it's safe during pregnancy, but also because it, too, can be contaminated with bacteria. Thinking about shaking things up with a protein shake mix? Think about running the label by your practitioner first, since many contain suspect supplements and too high levels of vitamins and minerals. Had a couple of shots of wheatgrass or a few green powder smoothies before you got the go-ahead from your practitioner? No worries. Just remember that going forward, it's always a good idea to get clearance from your practitioner before you clear off the shelves of your health food market. Shortcuts to healthy eating. Healthy food can be fast food too. Here's how. If you're always on the run, remember that it takes no more time to slap together a roast turkey, cheese, lettuce, and tomato sandwich to take to work or to order one at the deli than it does to stand in line for fast food. If the prospect of preparing a real dinner every night seems overwhelming, cook enough for two or three dinners at one time and give yourself alternate nights off. Keep it simple when you're cooking healthy. For a quick meal, bake or broil a fish fillet and top it with your favorite jarred salsa, a little chopped avocado, and a squeeze of fresh lime juice. Layer tomato sauce and mozzarella cheese on a cooked boneless chicken breast and then run it under the broiler. Or scramble some eggs and wrap them in a corn tortilla along with shredded cheddar and some microwave steamed vegetables. When you don't have time to start from scratch, when do you ever, turn to canned beans, soups, frozen or packaged, ready-to-prepare healthy entrees, frozen vegetables, or the fresh, pre-washed veggies sold in supermarket produce sections.
Junk food junkie.
I'm addicted to junk foods like cookies, chips, and fast food. I know I should be eating healthier, and I really want to, but I'm not sure I can change my habits.
Ready to junk the junk food. Getting motivated to change your eating habits is the first and most important step, so congratulate yourself on taking it. Actually, making the changes will involve some serious effort, but the effort will be seriously worth it for baby and for you. Here are several ways to make your withdrawal from your junk food habit almost as painless as it is worthwhile. Move your meals. If the coffee cake calls when you breakfast at your desk, fill up on a better breakfast at home. Foods that are packed with a blood sugar stabilizing stick with you combo of complex carbs and protein, like oatmeal, will actually help you fight those junk food cravings when they strike later on. If you know you can't resist the golden fries once you pass through the golden arches, don't go there, literally. Order in a healthy sandwich from the local deli, or head to that wrap place that doesn't fry anything. Plan, plan, and plan some more. Planning for meals.